As I think back over the course of my life and I think about the things that God has blessed me with, I'm confident that one of his biggest blessings in my life, and I'm really trying hard not to take it for granted, but one of the biggest blessings of things that God has given me has been examples in my life of people that I can look up to, of people that I can follow after to know and understand the right way to live and the right way to do things, right? A way is pleasing to God. I can think back to some of my earliest memories and know my parents, right? My parents love God with all their heart. They love one another. They love my brother. They love me. They've shown me what it looks like to follow after Jesus as I grow up, right? I've been able to follow in their example. As a teenager, I had life group leaders. I had interns. I had pastors, people that would invest in me, that would speak God's truth into my life, that they would show me the way to live. And the incredible thing that just God has done is God is still blessing me with many of those same people still speaking into my life, right? That he's given me examples that I can follow after. Even when I went to Texas A&M, I got there as a freshman, and one of my best friends in the world was a sophomore. He was a year ahead of me at A&M, and so I could learn all things college from him. I could follow in his footsteps because he had been there before. He would show me the campus. He would show me where classes were. He would show me where some of the lesser-known desserts were in the cafeteria on campus at A&M, right? We even had the same major, but he was a year ahead of me, so I got all of his old books. I got all of his old notes. I had an example to follow, it seems like, every step of the way that God has given me in life, and it's been this incredible blessing, and I know that there's no way that I'm the only one, right? I know that all of us have had examples in our life to follow. All of us have examples in our life to follow. People that have made impressions on us. People that have given us guidance and wisdom, shown us the right way to do things, the right way to live, and the right way to walk through life. And it makes a difference, doesn't it? And it makes a difference when you can look to someone else to help show you the way. And if you're thinking this morning, man, I didn't have that blessing growing up. I don't have that blessing now. I don't have people in my life that can be examples like that. Let me just encourage you this morning before we get to our text today that if you'll look around, they're all around you right in here, right? You might not have had that in your family growing up, but the way that God designs the church to be a family, to love one another, to connect with one another, all of those people, all of those examples are right here in the room. So connect, lean in, introduce yourself to people, get to know people, and I promise you, God is going to bless you with people that will help you as you chase after him in this life. But these living and breathing examples that we know, that we can see, that we can talk to, those aren't the only examples that God has given us in life. When we open our Bible, we see some things, right? We see God. We see the bigness of God, the glory of God. We see the love of God. We see the goodness of God and the grace of God as we open up his word. And we also see in his word are some incredible examples of people that are chasing after him, of people that are living a life that is pure before him. And he highlights those for us. He brings those to the forefront so we can follow in their example as well. And if you think about the series that we've been walking through on Sunday mornings, what we're calling it essential, because there are certain things that are just essential that are going to happen in our hearts and in our lives as we chase and follow after Jesus. Think back over the course of the series, because with every single one of these, we see in the text that we've looked at an example that we can follow in it. We started off with knowing God because that's critical. It all starts there when we step into a relationship with God. And we saw that Paul was this incredible example of a man that was far from God. God worked in his heart, saw him how much he needed God, and Paul came to know God and walk in a relationship with him. Then the next week in the series was grow, right? We know God and we grow in our relationship with God, like a vine that stays connected to the branch. And we saw the disciples that drew close to Jesus in all things, right? They're a great example for us to follow. This past week, we talked about going out and sharing the hope that we have in Christ, the love that we've experienced in Christ with the world around us. We called that go, and we looked at Peter and John, two guys that were fishermen. They had never done it before. They had never spoken to people like that before. They had no training, no education, but God said go, and they did, right? We can look at their example and see how they did what God's calling them to do. And this morning, as we turn to God's word, we're going to see another example. And the amazing thing is this, right? The Bible doesn't even record her name, right? But her story has lived on and will live on forever. If you've got a Bible, open up to Mark chapter 12, and we're going to find an example in this woman. And as we go to Mark 12, we're going to see that she's worshiping in the temple, that she's alongside a lot of other people that are in the temple as well, but she stands out, right? She's different than the other people that are worshiping that day because her heart, right? Her heart was a picture of that fourth essential that we see that's in the heart and the life of every believer. Her heart was a picture of generosity, right? Her heart was the picture of someone that was ready, that was willing, that was able to give to others. And as we open God's word, what we might ask, how do we know that the heart of a believer, that the heart of a follower of Jesus is the heart of a giver? I think it's because it's the heart of God. And the Bible tells us that as Christians, we should strive to be like God himself. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God. Be like God. Live with the heart that we see in God. The Bible, God's word, talks about being generous. It talks about giving to others over 2,100 times. Guys, clearly in God's word, giving, generosity is an important thing. I mean, just think about Jesus himself, right? Jesus himself, the Son of God on earth, was always giving, right? Jesus was giving grace to those that didn't deserve it. Right, Jesus was giving out mercy to those that needed it. We saw Jesus give power. We saw Jesus give love. We saw Jesus give hope. We saw Jesus give his very life for us. Right, everything that we see in God, everything that we see in Jesus is generous. And so as we look in Mark 12 today, our main idea, and everything is going to flow from this. If you're taking notes, it's our God is a generous God, and his children are generous people. Hey, our God is a generous God, and those who are truly his children are generous people. The woman that we're going to see today, and she had a generous heart like Jesus, and she's an amazing example for me and for you to follow after. Look in Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 41, God's word says this. And he, this is Jesus, it says, and Jesus sat down opposite the treasury, and he watched the people putting money into an offering box. Many rich people came, and they put large sums in, and a poor widow came. And she put in two small copper coins, which together make up a penny. And he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put more in than all of those who are contributing an offering. For they contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything that she had. All that she had to live on, she gave. As we seek to understand this, know that earlier in chapter 12, right, of this same book, there's a different kind of person, right? We're introduced to selfish people, to self-centered people, and sort of the mode of their life was to gather things for themselves, to make sure that they were set up well, to make sure that they had the nice seat, to make sure that they had the focus, the notoriety, the attention, right? It was all about them. But as we get to these verses here, starting in verse 41, we see that this widow is different. Right, she stands in contrast to them. She is a true giver. She's generous. Her heart is a reflection of God's heart, and we can see that by what she did with the things that God had given her. We need to understand that what we do with what God has given us shows the world and shows God what it is we value. And as we grow with him, as we stay connected in our relationship with him, we're going to follow the example. Our heart is going to be like his heart, and we're going to be generous like our Heavenly Father is generous. And as we drill down, there's several things that I want to pull from her example. Look at verse 41. It says this, and Jesus sat down opposite the treasury, and what did he do? He watched. Jesus watched. The first thing that we're going to see is Jesus watches what we give, right? Jesus can see how we are generous. Have you ever just sat back and watched someone, right? Some people would say that one of their hobbies is people watching, right? Is that you? Where you just like to sit back and watch people and observe people. And when you're watching them, you can learn a little bit about them. And there's some great places to people watch. And I'm sure that you've experienced these. You go to an airport, great place to people watch. But I'm not sure that anything compares to people watching at Walmart, right? Especially on Black Friday. You can learn about people by the way that they behave at Walmart on Black Friday. When they come in, you know what kind of person they are based on what part of the store they go to. Right? You know how intense they are by how fast they run to the deals that are laid out in the store. You know how strong they are by how willing they are to wrestle with somebody for the last thing that they see on the shelf. Right? You learn about people by watching their behavior. Right? We all do that. everywhere we go, we watch and we learn how people are. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's not engaging. Jesus is sitting back and he's simply watching. He's in the temple. It says that he's opposite the treasury, and that's where people would have brought in their offerings. And it's a really unique design. As you walked into this place, there's 13 different spots where you could give money back then. They were made out of brass, but they were in the shape of shofars. And if you've been to Israel, you know what I'm talking about, those ram's horn trumpet kind of things. And there's 13 of them spread out across there. And each one was for a different thing depending on what kind of offering a person was bringing in that day. And so as people came in, they spread out and they were able to deposit them right in there. It was wide at the top. It got narrowed down at the bottom, and it was where people could worship. It's where people could bring an offering to the Lord. And as all this is going on, Jesus sits back and he watches. And in verses 41 and 42, we see that Jesus is able to notice what people are giving. He notices wealthy people giving a lot. And honestly, from other places in Scripture, we know that oftentimes that was a show for them, right? It was all about the show. It was all about making much of them. It was a fake kind of thing because their heart wasn't in the right place. And God doesn't have any kind of time for that. But Jesus didn't just notice them. He didn't just notice them coming through. Jesus notices people, all kinds of people, even this poor widow who in her culture and in her day, she was the least of the least. She was poor. She was a widow. She was a woman, which meant that most of the time she did not get a second look. People didn't notice her. Nobody was interested in what she was doing. Nobody was interested in learning about her, but Jesus was. He noticed that she had two coins. They're the smallest coins that would have been in circulation that day. And when you combine the two of them together, scholars believe that they would have been 1/64th of a day's wage, right? An 8-hour day, 7.5 minutes worth of work was the value of her offering, of her gift. Right? Essentially worthless. Not able to purchase anything. Not able to do anything. Honestly, not really able, value-wise, to help anyone at all. But if you look in verse 44 at the end of this little section, you'll see that it's all she had. Right? That's all that she had. And she gave her absolute all. Nobody would have seen it. Nobody would have heard it. It wouldn't have made a loud noise. It wouldn't have clanked around down on that offering. But Jesus saw it. Jesus noticed it, and he notices us too. If you look in Psalm 33, starting in verse 13, the Bible says this, "The Lord looks down from heaven, and he sees all the children of man." The Lord looks down from heaven, and he sees us. From where he sits enthroned in heaven, he looks out on the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the heart of them all and observes all their deeds. Listen, Jesus sees us. Jesus knows what we're doing. And here's the amazing thing. Jesus doesn't just see the what. Jesus sees past that, and Jesus sees the why. The second thing that we learn from the example of this widow is this, is Jesus knows why we give. He knows why we're generous. He sees the motives of our hearts in all things that we do, right? Clearly, motivation, the reason behind what we're doing is so, so important. Earlier this week, I got an email, and it was from TurboTax. I love getting that email at the beginning of every year because it's a great reminder for me that I get to wrap up my taxes and send somebody else some money, right? And so do you. At the end of this month or next month, but any time before April, I've got to send the IRS a chunk of money. And here's what you need to know about the IRS. They don't care how I feel about it, right? They don't care how you feel about it either. They're not concerned with my heart. They're not concerned with our feelings. They're not concerned with our motives. They don't care about any of that. You know what they're concerned with? The money. They're concerned with the bottom line. They're concerned with the total that you're going to be willing to give. That's not the case with Jesus, right? And we see that right here. Jesus isn't worried about any of that at all. Jesus is concerned with our hearts. Jesus is concerned with the why. He's concerned with what is going on inside of us. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, it says, "For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him all of our actions are weighed." In 1 Samuel 16, it says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees." Man looks at the outward actions. Man looks at the outward appearance. That verse goes on to say, but the Lord looks on the heart. Listen, we need to know that Jesus always weighs the why. right, with Jesus. It's about the why. That's a great reminder for us in our generosity and our giving. That's a great reminder for us in all things in life. All that we do, Jesus is looking into our hearts. He looks past what we do. Jesus looks past our results. He looks past our successes. He looks past our failures. He looks past every external factor that man sees. And Jesus sees deep down into our hearts. And we see right here in her example that God is looking at much more than the gift. He's looking at the heart that's behind it. In fact, I really think that we would be a whole lot more comfortable as we talk about giving, as we talk about generosity, as we talk about what we do with the things we have, if we came to the understanding that God really doesn't need it. God doesn't need anything from us. God already has it all. In Psalm chapter 50, verse 10, it says, this is God speaking, every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. All the birds of the hills, everything that moves in the field, it's mine. God says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Why? Because the world and all of its fullness are mine. Right? God didn't look at that widow that day and think, man, she gave me two coins. If she had given me three, I'd love her so much more. He's not thinking, man, if she had given me three, I could do much more. He's not thinking, man, she gave me two, but I needed more from her than that. Listen, God's looking past that. God looks past the gift, and God looks at the heart. God is thinking, does her heart look like my heart? Do they have the heart of a giver? God is wondering, are we being generous because God is generous? Are we giving to other people? Are we meeting the needs that we see pop up in the world around us out of a grateful heart for the blessings that God has given us in the first place? God is thinking, are we willing to give what we have, to support, to love others, to help those in needs, because God first gave everything to us? Listen, for God, it's not about the stuff. For God, it's about the heart. Right, it all starts in the heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3 says this, if I give all I possess to the poor, and I surrender my body to the flame, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Right? God's word says if we give every last thing that we've got away, down to our very life, if we do it with the wrong motive, if we do it with the wrong thing in our heart, that it's nothing. We see here that God is much more than the what. With God, it's all about the why. It's all about our heart. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, find your treasure, and that's where your heart is going to be. And it's true. Listen, people that are generous like God is generous, people that are giving like Jesus was giving, have hearts that are consumed with Jesus. Jesus is on the inside, and he changes us to make us like him, right? We see that in this widow. Jesus is sitting there that day as she comes in and sets this example for us. We see what they give. Jesus sees why they give. And then finally, we see this. Jesus responds to the giver, right? Jesus doesn't sit back quietly. Jesus is moved. He's motivated. He responds to the giver. If you look at verse 43, it says, Jesus called his disciples to him. And he said, truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who were contributing. They out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty contributed everything that she had. And when Jesus says that phrase, it's clear that it's not about money at all. It's all about the heart. A lot of people gave a lot, but it really didn't mean much to them. That widow gave a little that meant everything to her. And as Jesus told his disciples, guys, she gave more, that there's no way they could have understood what he meant. There's no way they could have understood it, because it's completely backwards from the way that a man thinks. It's completely backwards from the way of this world. Jesus was teaching them, and as it's written down, Jesus is teaching us how God sees things. Remember, God sees our hearts. He wasn't moved by the other gifts. He was moved by the gift from the widow, because she was willing to sacrifice, because she was giving from a loving heart, a generous heart, a trusting heart from God. And as she did, Jesus responded. Jesus spoke. I read this quote this week concerning the widow's gift. It says, that which made no difference in the books of the temple was immortalized in the book of life. right? The gift that day, it didn't add up to anything. The gift that day made no difference as they recorded it. It didn't make any difference as they wrote it down, but that gift has been immortalized. People are talking about that gift generations later. God is using it to give me and to give you the picture of a generous heart. And listen, why? It's because her heart was in the right place, right? She was generous. She gave and she allowed God to use what she had that day for his ultimate good. She'll never know the impact her gift made that day. She had no idea that we would be talking about that 2,000 years later to get the picture of the heart of God when it comes to doing the right thing with our stuff, right? She gave and God used it. And the same should be true of us if we're followers of Jesus. We should follow in her example because she was following in God's example. As we know God, we talked about that weeks ago, as we grow in our relationship with God, as we go with the love of God to the world, Jesus wants to form in us the heart of a giver. And if you're a follower of Jesus, know that the desire to give is inside of you because the Bible says that Christ is inside of you. And we know that giving is what Jesus does best. So as we grow in our relationship with him, it's a natural thing that's going to happen. We're going to grow as givers. We're going to understand, just like the widow, that everything that we have is God's in the first place. Psalm 24:1 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything that we have is God's. And it's a big theological principle. When we get that, like the widow got that, it's easy for us to see that we're called to be a good steward of the things that God's given us. Just like this widow, we need to understand that every decision we make with our stuff, every decision that we make with our money is a spiritual decision because ultimately it's all God's in the first place, right? Spending, our savings, our giving, all of it, right, is a spiritual act before God. We're called to be smart. We're called to be a steward. We're called to be generous with what God has given us, right? It's an incredible thing, but the stewardship that we're talking about when it comes to our resources is more than just money. It's understanding that everything that we have is God's, right? A great picture of this is in Cheryl Spafford, our discipleship minister here at North Cline. I remember years ago, Cheryl had a bigger car than all of us. It had a lot of seats in it, and every time our interns needed a car to haul kids around, every time our interns needed a car to run to the store to get something, they would go to Cheryl, and Cheryl would give them the car. And one day, I pulled her aside. I was like, Cheryl, why are you letting these 18, 19-year-olds drive your car around like crazy? They're trashing it. They're scratching it. They're putting dents in it. They're spilling stuff in it. What in the world are you doing with your car? And she said, oh, it's not my car. It doesn't matter. It's like, is it your dad's car? And she's like, no. She's like, it's God's car, right? God blessed me with it. And I'm not using it, so I want to make sure that it gets the maximum use for the kingdom of God. She understood that it wasn't hers in the first place. She had possession of it. It parked in her garage, right? She used it to get to work each and every day, but ultimately it wasn't about her. And it wasn't for her. It was God's, to be used in a way that brought glory and honor to God. And as we look at this text in Mark chapter 12, that widow understood this, right? She understood that the coins that she had were from God. She understood that she was supposed to be wise in her use of them. And the same is true for us. A lot of us get that. And all of us, as we continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus, we're going to see that when we use our things well, when we are good stewards of them, like God has called us to be good stewards of them, that we're going to see that God can do big things through his people when we are generous. Listen, if you're new to North Cline, if you're new to the Champion Forest family, we've actually got about 20 people across the hallway in a membership right now joining our church to become a part of our church family. And they're going to find out, as you are going to find out, that the people that are sitting around you are incredibly generous people, right? They have the heart of God when it comes to stewardship, when it comes to their stuff. And God uses the generosity of the people in this room every single week to change lives in a powerful way. And I just want to give you a few examples. We saw one at the Dream Banquet, a dream event, just a couple of weeks ago on MLK weekend. At the end, we did a spur-of-the-moment offering. And we said, hey, if you want to give a little bit of money to support an organization that's working with kids in a very tough part of Houston, then you can do that on your way out. And you, our church family, gave thousands of dollars to this organization. And the amazing thing is this. That organization had no idea we were doing it that night. And so I called the lady that runs it. Her name is Kelly. She's a friend of mine, and we've seen God do incredible things through her ministry. And I said, hey, Kelly, you're not going to believe this, but our church family collected several thousand dollars for you. And I told her the amount over the phone, and she said, Stephen, you're not going to believe this. This morning, I got a call from our partners down in this neighborhood, and they said that their food pantry is completely empty. The families that rely on them, the students that rely on them, are going to go hungry tonight unless I can come up with money. You know how much she needed? About the exact amount that you gave that night, right? God uses generosity to make much of him. Last year, our church family, you gave $1.5 million to causes just like that in our city, in our state, and in our country. Listen, our church has a generous heart. You saw a bunch of our kiddos from Kids Worship today bringing canned food and stuff for our community ministry center. Since March, at the beginning of COVID, you, our church, has provided 10,875 boxes of food that are given to families every week to help them get by, to help them have food when they don't have food. To help you understand how much that is, that's 217,000 pounds of food have been given out in just over 9 months. Why? Because our God's a generous God and his children are generous people. Because God has stirred up in our heart this desire to give. It flows out of the relationship that we have with him. One more story, and then we'll close. I just have to say this when it comes to generosity. A couple of years ago, I had the privilege to meet this kid in Haiti named Max. Max is an orphan, and he was living on the streets, and some generous people that have the heart of God picked Max up. They taught him. They worked with him. They grew him up. He became a follower of Jesus as well. Now Max is 24, and he has 14 kids. None of them are his. All of them are orphans that he found on the street, that he brought in, that he created a home for, that he's getting school, that he's getting healthier, he's getting education, and there's no way that he could afford this. How's he doing this? The church, right? There's people that know his story, that send him money every single month. They sacrifice. They forego things that they could have every month, and they send it to Max so that he can provide a life for these kids down in Haiti. Why do they do that? Because our God's a generous God, and his children are generous people, right? If God works in us, he's going to make us sensitive to the needs around us. He's going to give us the ability to help people, to love people, to give to people, because he first has given to us. So as we look around, as we look for examples to follow, I mean, we've got a great one here in Mark chapter 12, and we don't even know her name, but we know her heart. We know that she was a giver like Jesus was a giver, right? Jesus sees what we give. Jesus knows our hearts. And the amazing thing is this, is that Jesus promises in Matthew chapter 6 that he sees when we sacrifice, he sees when we give, and he says that he'll reward us for it. So this morning, I just want to encourage you to take some time and to ask God this simple question. God, am I generous like you're generous? God, am I using the gifts that you've given me? Am I using the resources you've given me? Am I using my car like Cheryl used her car? Am I using my things in a way that brings glory to you? Right, as Jesus is in us, that's an essential thing in the life of a Christ follower. Maybe even just ask God this morning, God, give me the heart of a giver just like you. I heard God what was so generous that he was willing not only to give us the things that we have now. Our God is so generous, he was willing to give us his son. He gave us his one and only son. God sent Jesus to give up everything, including his very life, for us on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be made right with God. And a question this morning as we talk about this is, because of the love of God, because of the goodness of God, because of the gift of God, do you know Jesus in a personal way? Right, because of his generous heart, has he changed your life? Are you walking through life looking around with peace, with hope, with joy that comes from knowing him? Or are you confident that because of the goodness of God to you, that you're going to spend an eternity in heaven with him? Because before any kind of gift matters, before us giving anything else away, let me encourage you that first it starts with our hearts, giving it to him and allowing him to change our lives to make us more like him. Would you pray with me? As we bow our heads and pray this morning. Well, we're just going to enter into a time of prayer as a church family. We've been doing this for weeks now at Champion Force. This is a time just for you to go before the Lord, to allow God to speak to your heart, a time for you to speak to God, to talk to Him. And this morning, if you're saying, you know, I had no idea that God loved me that much. I had no idea that God was willing to give me that much. I had no idea that God has given me Jesus. And if that's you, and you would say that you don't know Jesus, if you would say you're not sure that you have an eternity waiting for you in heaven because you're not sure that you've got a relationship with Him, I want to encourage you to give today, to give your heart to Jesus, to surrender your life to Him and say, God, I need you. Just like we sang in that song earlier, God, I need you. In just a second, if that's you, we're going to have pastors at the front. Just want to encourage you, when everyone stands to worship, just walk on down and say, hey, I need Jesus today. And let us pray with you about giving your heart and life to Jesus this morning. For those of us that know Jesus, ask God right now, God, give me a generous heart. Help me to be generous with what you have given me. Help me to see the needs that are there in the world around me and help me to respond. God, give me a sensitivity to know what people need, how they need it. And God, move me to meet their needs. God, help us to understand that one day we're going to talk with you about all the things that we've done with the things that you've given us. God, help us to be generous. And in just a moment, as we stand and pray and worship, like I said, our pastors will be down here. If you're ready to trust Christ, if you want to be baptized, if you want to talk to someone about what it means to be a part of our church family, if you want to pray over anything, maybe someone in your family has COVID right now, maybe someone's in the hospital, someone's sick, maybe you're facing a crisis in your family and you just want someone to pray over you, we'll be here and we'd be honored to pray with you about what God is doing in your life. Father, we are so thankful for all that you've given to us, God. And Lord, I pray that you would create in us, grow in us, develop in us a heart like yours. God, a heart that's willing to give, a heart that's willing to love, a heart that's willing to meet the needs in the world around us. God, make us more like you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me as we worship? And if you're ready to pray, there will be pastors here.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.